Hello, and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast, the leading podcast for fans of Peanuts books. At least, I assume it's the leading podcast. I don't know of any others, which actually means it's not really leading, because if you have no followers, you're just really wandering. Today on the podcast, we'll be looking at how to collect Peanuts books, or really we'll be giving some good tips on how to collect just about any kind of books, and some tips are useful for collecting just about anything. Now, this whole podcast is a bit of an experiment on my part, and I'm experimenting as I go along. Some of these podcasts I've tried using a full script. This one I am winging it a bit. I'm going off of a bit of an outline, about a half a page for probably what'll end up maybe 20 minutes. We'll see. So I'd be interested in hearing from everybody when you're done about which podcasts you think work better. I'll give you the email address at the end of the broadcast. So why collect? Why collect anything, really? Peanuts books may be my madness, but everybody has their own. There's really two reasons to collect. There's the joy of having, the joy of you own that thing. You sought for that thing, and now you've got it. You may want a complete set of Peanuts Parade books. You may want Peanuts books from various languages. You may want to be able to look at them whenever you want to, be able to read them whenever you want to. But there's also the joy of the hunt, that effort to go out and find things. Some people wouldn't collect if they could just order everything all at once from one place. Oh, I would like a full set of all the Peanuts books. Some people would love that and would do that, and some people would say, well, where's the fun in that? I'm a bit in the latter category. When I started collecting, I was definitely trying to just have the books. I wasn't even so much trying to have the books. I was trying to have the individual Peanuts strips. And I did a lot of my early organizing trying to figure out, well, this book in this series has the same strips as this book in that other series. Peanuts had a lot of series like that overlapped. You took some of these books and cut them in half, and those made the smaller books. And then you took one and a half of the original books, and you made these bigger books out of them, the Peanuts Parade books. But after a while, I got fascinated with all the different formats and all the different things that were done. And that's when I started trying to collect some larger portion of everything. Which really gets me to my second topic. What are you collecting? Don't try to collect everything. There are people who try to collect, people who try to collect Peanuts flat out, and they're never going to get anywhere near everything. There's far too much stuff that already exists, and there's far too much new stuff coming out. You can be made of practically infinite money, and it will soak that up, as well as soaking up your time organizing it. Even when it comes to Peanuts books, I don't actually collect everything. Sure, I collect all the strip books and I collect all the story books, but I don't collect the coloring books. I gather a few. If I see something interesting, I'll have it, and I've ended up with a few from various means, but I don't think, oh, there's a coloring book I don't have, I must have it. And I don't collect blank journals with the characters on it or calendar books or things of that nature, activity books. I don't try to collect all of the foreign books. I'd love to have Peanuts books from each different language that there have been Peanuts books in. But I do not expect to or want to get, say, every volume of the Polish set of the complete Peanuts. I don't need 26 hardcover books of a version of things I already have in a language I cannot read. If I find an interesting Polish book, something that has an interesting format or does something special, oh, that I want. Because that's interesting, but I don't try to be a completist on the foreign books, or I should say foreign language books. Completist on anything that was published in the U.S. or anything published anywhere in English. But even then, for most stuff, I don't need every printing, I don't need every variation. I just want one copy of the book. But you can try to collect all of a set. You can try to collect all of the Fawcett Crest mass market size paperbacks. Or you can try for examples of each of a different batch. Now, whatever you choose to focus on, don't let that rule out everything else. Don't let that make you say, well, I'm only collecting the strip book, so I won't get this really interesting pop-up storybook, even though it looks really interesting to me. You can still get it. You just don't need to get all the pop-up storybooks. Don't necessarily have to fall into that, unless you discover you really want to. You get a couple pop-up books, and you start going, I wonder what else is out there. That's great. Go and get those. So that's really the why and the what. And now we get to the how. Where do you find Peanuts books? Well, I will always recommend that people stop over to og.com, which has links to a lot of Peanuts books available through Amazon and when you click on those links and when you order the books, Amazon gives us a little kickback for sending you their way at no extra cost to you. So that does help pay for me building the Ogg.com reference library, as I refer to the more than 1,000 Peanuts books I have on hand. It helps cover me spending my time doing my blog, doing this podcast. So I appreciate it when you do that. And even if you are shopping for something else through Amazon, you come to my website first, you click on a link, and you go and you buy anything else, they'll still send me some money. So keep that possibility in mind. And it's absolutely a great way to buy new in-print Peanuts books. I won't say quite everything's available through Amazon, but almost everything would be available through Amazon. But there's a lot of Peanuts books that aren't currently in print, and there are ways to find some of those through Amazon as well. But when I started out, my big thing was hitting yard sales and flea markets. I would almost always find at least some Peanuts book at any one of these places. For some reason, everybody seemed to have one. And back when I was starting out, it was likely to be one that I didn't have. Now I don't go that route much anymore. I have so many Peanuts books, I have such a large percentage of everything that was ever released in the U.S., that the odds of my finding a Peanuts book that I didn't have already at one of these places is pretty slim. Library used book sales are also very good. I've got a library around here that has sales twice a year, and you go and they've got big piles of books, and there's usually going to be a few Peanuts books there, something nice. We also have a library nearby that has a permanent used bookstore run by volunteers, open 6 days a week, I believe. And I've made a couple of good finds there, including one nice set of the Charlie Brown Cyclopedia, the Mexican edition of it, which they had at an affordable price. It was about $2 a book. Still, that adds up to like $30. But this set also had one book that was not in the American edition. It was a book about Mexico. And so I really thought it was kind of nifty to have a Peanuts book about Mexico. I was glad to get that. Also let me buy an interesting complete set all at once, which can be fun or can ruin the joy of the hunt. I mean, there's nothing like filling that one last hole you have in a collection that give you a little extra boost of joy. But again, getting past the library used book sales, a lot of life goes on online. eBay, the online auction site, is a good place for sort of grazing across Peanuts books. You put a search in their search field, something like Snoopy paperback, and things will start popping up. At any one time, hundreds of different Peanuts books can be found on eBay. Finding them takes building a good search, and there's a problem with searching for Peanuts books on eBay. And that is, if you search for the word Peanuts, not just in the title, but throughout the entire listing for a book, you get an awful lot of false positive, awful lot of books showing up that aren't Peanuts books. And that's because a lot of vendors who sell through eBay like to discuss in their listings how they ship things. And a lot of them include mentioning shipping with, say, recyclable packing peanuts. So that doesn't help you at all. So if you search with the word peanuts, you may find yourself wading through a lot of false positives. And a lot of things that you would find with searching for peanuts, you can find searching for Snoopy or Charlie Brown or Schultz, which brings me to my tip. One way that I found a lot of Peanuts books that other collectors seem to have missed on eBay is searching for the name Schultz misspelled. If you ask somebody to spell Schultz, 9 times out of 10, they won't spell it the way that Charles Schultz does. He spelled it S-C-H-U-L-Z. And usually you'll find people adding a T to that, sometimes leaving out the C. So I've got searches that look for these variant names. And again, they get false positives because there are people with those names out there who created books. But it does help me find some things that others have missed. Now, if you find something interesting on eBay, don't bid on it immediately. And if there's a buy it now link, don't buy it now immediately. Unless it's a ridiculously low price, take a minute. Go to a site called bookfinder.com. Now, bookfinder.com aggregates together all of the online listings for a huge array of used bookstores. And so you can search for a book there, and it'll list a whole, if there's a bunch of them out there, it'll list a bunch of used bookstores that offer it, and will list the prices that it is at. You may find it available at a price much lower than the minimum bid or the current bid or the buy it now price of whoever's selling it on eBay. And in fact, bookfinder.com is my next major recommendation. If you're looking for a specific book, if you have something particular in mind, some hole you're trying to fill, it's an excellent site to go to. But then I also caution that they don't list eBay listings. So before you press that buy, go on to eBay. See if anybody else is selling that right at the moment and see what you can find. And of course, the best way to get Peanuts books is gifts from friends. Have good friends. Let them know you like Peanuts books. Who knows what they'll get you? Probably something you already have. It's a gift. Thank them for it. And in fact, there we go. Getting Peanuts books that way is saving money. And that's my next... I got an outline here, as I told you. And that's my next thing on my outline, saving money. How do you save money when you're buying these things? One is to pay attention to shipping costs. If you see something for sale on eBay, that'll be the price that you're bidding. And then if you look lower on the page, there's a mention of how much you're going to have to pay for shipping and handling. Some vendors offer free shipping. They sort of build that price into the auction price. Others might charge you $4 or $5, and that can add an awful lot to the cost of a book. So keep your eyes open when you bid. Over at Bookfinder, they actually do their listings that include the shipping costs in it. But also, if you're buying from somebody on eBay or going through Bookfinder and finding an online used book source, you may want to see if that same vendor has other Peanuts books available, because often when you're paying for shipping for two books, it's nowhere near twice as much as paying for shipping for one book. Especially if you happen to be buying something internationally, you can get that extra book without paying a huge extra shipping price. So that'll save you money right there. Also save money by not depending on getting the greatest possible condition for every book. If you see a book available that you don't have and it's a little beat up, that's great. You get it. It's in your collection. If you find a cheap copy of it in nicer condition sometime later, you can upgrade it, but don't insist on only getting top condition books. There's something nice about a used book. It means somebody had it. Somebody read it. Somebody loved it. I love finding books that have inscriptions in it. Somebody gave it to somebody, or some kid's note, some kid's scribbles on them. This is a book that has had life. It has been out there in the wild. So don't sit there and say, well, it's got little bits of wear. There's a page torn here. Don't get too heavily into that. If the book's falling apart, that's another thing. If the pages aren't going to stay inside the book, that may be a choice that doesn't make you happy in the long run. But it can still be better than not having that particular book at all. Don't be all editions crazy. Don't sit there and say, well, they came out with this in a slightly different cover 10 years later. I need both covers. You can do that if you want, but there's no rules to set what your collection is supposed to be. The only rules for your collection are whatever you set. And if you choose not to chase after that, good for you. The only thing I chase after that really with is book editions of A Charlie Brown Christmas. Because I decided that's my one insanity within my insanity. I'm going to get every different visible variation on book editions of A Charlie Brown Christmas. Even if it's just reprinting the same book a couple years later with something different on the cover, I want that different version. So I'm good like that. Keep track of what you have. Make a list that you can carry around. It doesn't have to be a printed list. You can save it on your cell phone. You can have it on your website and pull it down easily. Whatever you like to do to track books, so that when you're out there in a used bookstore and you happen upon a Peanuts book and you're going, do I actually have this? Can you remember every Peanuts book you have for sure? Or might this be one that you saw for auction once but didn't get, or whatever? By having that list with you, you keep yourself from accidentally buying doubles. Now, there's a problem, however, with keeping track of what Peanuts books you have. And that is that sometimes Peanuts books reuse the names of previous volumes. There's certain names that have been used several times for very different books. They may be used for a strip collection and for a storybook, and they may have been used for a different strip collection over in Britain. So you sometimes have to really keep track of not only what the title of the book is, but what the publisher of the book is or what series the book is in. And you don't want to turn away from something interesting because you think you already have it because you have a different book with the same name. If you do end up with doubles, that gives you another opportunity to save money, because you may have Peanuts book collecting friends, and they may have doubles, and they may have doubles of books you don't have. trading is perfectly legitimate. I still do occasional trades, not that often. I ended up with a lot of doubles because often on eBay, what somebody would be selling would be a set of 10 random Peanuts books, of which I would have 7 and really need the other 3. I still have a huge pile of doubles. I've got literally hundreds of doubles of books at this point, but always willing to help them find a new home, particularly if it gets me something I don't have. But really, one other thing when it comes to saving is don't let yourself be taken. There are a number of things, particularly on eBay listings, to be aware of. If anybody claims the book is rare, don't assume they're telling the truth. There may be tons of copies out there. They've got no reason not to say it's rare. They likely don't have the expertise to know it's rare. So don't invest in that. And again, check Bookfinder. The book's available a lot of other places, and it's available cheaper. A, it's not rare. B, it's cheaper. Beware of any signed copies. Even if they include a certificate of authenticity, a certificate of authenticity is not inherently a meaningful document. You can issue a fake certificate of authenticity about as easily as you can fake a signature. There were some legitimate signed editions, things that Schultz signed a batch of for various purposes. And you can find one of those, you can be sure it's a Schultz signature. And I'm sure there's plenty of real signatures and real sketches and books out there. There is definitely a lot of fake Schultz artwork for auction on eBay. Sad but true, and usually by looking at them you can tell. You can get a good sense that this was traced by somebody who was very much not Schultz if you spent any reasonable amount of time looking at the strip. I've even seen, well, it happened a lot with a book called Peanuts, The Art of Charles M. Schultz, that people selling it on eBay would list it as autographed. And that was because on the inside cover of the book reproduced a Schultz drawing with a signature. It was just printed in there. It was not a sign. It was just a printed copy of his signature in there. And in fact, he could not have signed that book. That book came out the same year that he passed away, after he passed away. Charles Schultz did not rise from the dead to sign your copy of Peanuts, The Art of Charles M. Schultz. Sad to say. So don't let yourself get taken. When you get taken, you not only hurt yourself, you're encouraging them to take other people. Beware of claims of first printings and first editions. Perhaps don't even try to value that too much yourself, but often people don't know what it is they have, and they just assume it's a first printing. There are books that went through multiple printings but never listed a printing number, and they may assume that it doesn't say a printing number, it must be first. It's not intentionally trying to rip you off, but don't let them accidentally rip you off either. Don't pay extra for that supposed first edition. Oh, which actually brings me to one of my cool tips. If you want a first edition of anything, it's the very first Peanuts book. That would be kind of cool, right? That was put out before Peanuts was a huge thing. The first Peanuts book came out in 1952. It was a strip collection, simply named Peanuts. And one of the nice things about Peanuts is you can tell the first print, and it went through a lot of printings, you tell the first print just by looking at the cover. The cover has this odd sort of blue fade design, and it has, towards the bottom of it, the name of the publisher. And if it says Holt, Reinhart, and Winston, you know instantly it's not a first printing. It has to say Reinhart and Company. That was from before Reinhart merged with Holt. But the true sign that it's a first printing, not one of the several printings that came out from Reinhart and Company, is that Reinhart and Company, in all their brilliance of printing their first printing, forgot to put a price on the book. And so all of the first printings don't say a nice clear printing price $1, but instead have that information rubber stamped on the book, like you'd use with a date stamp or something, anything else, so stamped afterwards. That lack of a proper pricing and the sign of a rubber stamp is a sign of a first printing, and you should not treat that rubber stamp as being something that damaged the book, that is part of the book as it was sold. But whatever you're looking for, make sure you're having fun. Don't get so anxious about collecting that it becomes a stress. If it's becoming a stress, it's not a thing you want to do. If you're enjoying it and can afford it, great. If not, walk away. Pause your collecting for a while. When the time comes, give your books to somebody who wants to own them, who wants to read them. Own your possessions, but don't let your possessions own you. And that's about as wise as we get here on the Og Blog podcast. As I said, if you want to contact me with comments about how good this episode was or wasn't, or if you have any questions or you have any ideas for future broadcasts you'd like me to do, just send an email to questions@aug.com. That's AAUGH.com. I'll be glad to hear from you. That's it for today. Until next time, may all your griefs be good ones.